Hello and welcome to another Comics Burst from the Full Force podcast, sponsored by Distant Planet Comics and Collectibles, where we take an in-depth look at the newest G.I. Joe comics and related titles of the week, with me as your host, Chris Duck Hunt Part 2, McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. Joining me on this episode is Brian Part 2 Hickey. I'll be bleeping that. On this installment of your absolutely favourite kind of burst, we look at issue number 267 of G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, the second part of IDW's newest G.I. Joe story arc, Snake Hunt. So without further ado, let's get stuck into this comics burst. Snake Hunt Part 2. Cobra Commander thinks Sean Collins is the real Snake Eyes and wants him on the side of Cobra, whatever it takes. Dawn Moreno and the rest of the G.I. Joes know the truth and want Sean back, whatever it takes. But Cobra Commander's not going to give up his prized new possession without a fight. The battle call has sounded, and it's all hands on deck for both G.I. Joe and Cobra as living legend Larry Hammer and fan favourite artist Robert Atkins continue their 10-issue event, which features every single member of G.I. Joe. We will see. Anyway, Brian, how are you doing, sir?
I am doing great and loving Snake Hunt. Loving it. Issue 2 of 10 has delivered.
So you're happy now that we're getting into the action. Let's start. Let's recap quickly. Like last time we did, last Comics Burst, we looked at 266 and we were a little bit put out by the fact they've been waiting for this, you know, this build up all to this event. And then only to get an issue that effectively did the same thing. It just built up a little bit more. And we were both a little bit put out by that to a degree. But it was still fun to see a lot of the Cobra troops kind of filtering in here and there and everywhere. But coming into this issue, let's have a quick butchers at the covers before we get into it. But we've got for cover A, Robert Atkins and Tom B. Long on colours. Stalker basically on his jetpack fighting a rattler with a dragonfly in the background kind of heading towards its fate, and the Cobra, what looks like a base in the background as well, really cool.
Yeah, I mean the Cobra base, it looks fantastic. They've got massive Cobra emblems all over it. It's in the middle of a jungle by the looks of it, so it's not like anybody's gonna see the emblems, but you know, clearly they like to signpost their bases. Stalker looks pretty kick ass. I mean, he's up there in his jetpack, Rattler's coming in, but Stalker ain't going down without a fight. And in fact, the look on his face says that Rattler's going down.
Yeah.
You know, it's a classic piece of work from Robert Atkins.
It also, it homages the issue 54 from the original Marvel run, which had Flint in a parachute in exactly the same pose being attacked. Instead of a Rattler, it was a fire bat. And I think it was X-30 Conquest was going down in the background, and there's a pterodrome kind of beneath him. So I'll flash that up as well in, like, you know, a comparison shot.
Nice.
But yeah, it's basically homaging that cover. And I think At Robert did an amazing job, again, like, you know, putting Stalker in that position, fighting a rattler. Now, none of this actually happens in the issue, I have to say, but let's go through the covers. I mean, that's a pretty solid one. That's a beauty, and we've talked about the homage there. We also have, obviously, cover B from Jamie Sullivan, which means we're getting another piece to that puzzle, which, again, when that's finished, it's going to be amazing, isn't it?
That's beautiful. In fact, I was hoping I would get the cover B variant this time around. I actually got the cover A variant posted out to me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to go digging for that cover B, because I really want to be able to put that puzzle together when they've all been put out. But it's a super shot. We've got, looks like Flash and...
Grand Slam.
And, of course, the green laser exterminator in the background.
Have that, what's on your mind? Yes. The green howl. Yeah, totally. The laser exterminator, but in green and not as cool. I'm kidding. Yeah, again, like, really a lovely little cover. And obviously the big gun of the HQ in the background as well. So we're getting that nice shot of the HQ there, aren't we?
That's lovely. I mean, it's, you know, it's definitely well souped up, you know, from the toy. But it looks absolutely killer in the background there.
Retailer Incentive is by John Royal and Jagdish Kumar, with colours by James O'Frady, and it's the Crimson Twins kind of leading an offensive with explosions all over the place and a Crimson Guard in the background, or a couple of. What do you think of that one?
I always love John Royal's covers. You know, he's just got a superb art style. It's very dynamic, everything very kind of exaggerated in the characters. But they, you know, the Crimson Twins, they look as badass as ever. And in classic John Royal style, they're all, you know, beefed up to the hilt. You know, amazing. Kicking ass. Looks super, super cover.
And then, of course, and Jamie Sullivan gets another cover, The Greedy Bastard. I'm kidding. Amazing work again, this time homaging the box art, or even like, you know, the Missile Command headquarters from... Yes. Back in like 82 or 83. But again, amazing. Yeah, Jamie Sullivan on art and Cullen Davis on colours. So really nice. Cobra Commander, Cobra Officer, Cobra Trooper, and the missile base kind of art in the background. Very nice indeed.
I like the use of the Cobra enemy logo just slapped on the cover there as well, that you would see on the toys.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that looks great. Really nice. Nice touch.
And I suppose everyone is kind of... bigging up the Cobra influence in this particular issue, because it's huge. I mean, we've got Larry and crew basically trying to fill as many, or trying to fit as many different Cobra troopers into this issue as possible, and they do pretty well with it. So off the bat, they've done well in getting this many characters in. How do you feel it compares to that first issue, to the first part of the Snake Hunt?
Well, like I said, you know, on the last burst, you know, for 266, okay, it didn't deliver big on the action, but I felt some of the setup was still justified. It was, Larry was strategically placing the Cobra troopers just poised, ready to attack. And that setup allowed the immense amount of action in this episode to happen. So we have them, and we'll get into it in a bit more detail. But as this opens where we left off, we're back with Laura 343. Camped out in our kind of abandoned house just outside of Fort Wadsworth. And, you know, we have certainly the elite of Cobra troopers, or, you know, Cobra military specialists, I should say, making their appearance in this amazing issue of Real American Hero.
So basically, Cobra infiltrate the Fort Wadsworth facility looking for Snake Eyes. And that's like been their plan. They've been staking this place out, following... You know, ever since we saw them get a bead on him with that kind of pigeon-style revanche technology drone that Scarlet cut into pieces. So since we saw that particular thing happen in the comics, they've been basically staking out this Fort Wadsworth base. And the only thing I don't like about this intro is how easy it is for Cobra to kind of infiltrate the base, because I guess, like, in one sense, they're JoJo are trying not to make it obvious that there's a facility here, so they don't have a massive amount of troops, you know, stationed there, kind of like security and so on and so forth. But it is so simple for a couple of trucks to roll on in that don't have paperwork, one, that don't have any kind of reason to get through that first gate, and they get inside before they're even checked. And I think that whole aspect is really annoying to me, how simple. And yet again, Cobra are attacking a G.I. Joe like installation, aren't they?
Well, you know, there's a couple of things. Cobra were able to infiltrate the base with a drone right down into the heart of the underground levels of this base. And G.I. Joe made no effort to step up the security or even treat that as a particularly major threat. But, you know, that said, I mean, we have a plausible, you know, excuse here. How I see it is that the guards on the first gate are just kind of regular grunts. They're not the specialists. They're not, you know, battle hardened, years and years of experience G.I. Joe recruits. They're maybe a little bit green, and
they're literally
green, and they, you know, they take the fake paperwork at face value. They let these two massive you know, oil trucks,
Rabco,
enter the base. Rabco. Rabco, grab and go with Rabco. they let these guys into the base, But when they're confronted by Clutch and Stalker and Rock and Roll, the whole facade just falls asunder. And it's Clutch who immediately says, I'm not buying this. There's no way. Papers? What papers? There's no, you know, it's a direct deal with the supplier. And he hears the click of the safety catch being released on the Uzi inside the truck cab and knows immediately it's an attack.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, Clutch shoots first, you know, whips out the
proper
the
hand solos him, doesn't he?
Boom. Proper hand solos the job. And it's like, you know, you guys ain't getting in here. But of course, the damage is already done. They're already inside the base. And all of a sudden, the oil tankers explode open and you have Cobra's finest. There's no Cobra troopers here. There's no Vipers here. These are the elite of Cobra's military team just pour out of these trucks. And Stalker, Clutch and Rock and Roll, they're just overwhelmed.
Well, yeah, you have like Night Vipers, Alley Vipers, Heat Vipers, Toxo Viper version 2s, Frag Vipers, Techno Vipers. They're all flooding out of these Rabco trucks. A couple of things I'm going to mention initially off the bat. It looks as though the Toxo Vipers are carrying Heat Viper missile launchers, which is quite weird.
Oh.
Their actual kind of weapons, especially the toy versions, were a lot kind of way different to this. They are held in a similar way. There is a handle on the top and the kind of the main body element goes underneath the arm as opposed to over the top, like on the shoulder or something. So there is that similarity, but they look completely different from the toy. So I wonder if they have just given them the Heat Viper things just because, you know, maybe as a... Because they have them at hand, I think like Cobra Base, do you know what I mean? Like that's their thought process on it, rather than have big, silly... water pistol shooting, you know, not very detailed launcher type things. That's one thing I'd mention. And the other thing I'd mention is how usually when you're like up against, no matter how many troopers there are, usually what happens in a fight with Snake Eyes, Dawn Moreno, Helix, Bombstrike, Scarlet, Budo, Jinx, is that all the Cobras just get their asses handed to them. But that just isn't the case in this issue. They all get like done over very easily, I think, with a bit of gas. And it's a little bit of a disappointing end. And it's also quite interesting that, you know, Sean Collins, a.k.a. Throwdown, a.k.a. they think he's Snake Eyes, is taken out so easily.
Well, there's a few things there, right? One of the first things is that before they even get down into the lower levels, there's no attempt... Like the Vipers or the, you know, the attacking Cobra forces don't kill Clutch or Stalker. They just knock them out and hit them, you know, a few kicks, a few punches. This is an all-out assault. They know these guys aren't the ones they're after. Why didn't they just finish them off? Because they could have easily done that. Maybe Rock and Roll's not so lucky. We don't know his exact fate, but it looks like he's caught in a serious explosion thanks to a Heat Viper. So he may be a casualty. We don't know yet. But as they descend down into the motor pool, there's a lot of firepower going down there. Of course, what we see going down on the lift is very different to what we see arriving down into the underground level. So if you do a quick head count, you see there's no Alley Vipers as they're going down. But on the next two pages later, as the lift is descending into the belly of the underground base, it's loaded with Alley Vipers. And, you know, maybe I'm reading a bit too much into it, but there could be, they're making various trips down to the underground level. There could be a lot of firepower coming down here to overwhelm, you know, basically maybe, was it 8 or 9 Joes down below and Milo?
Yeah, I still think they're taken out too easily considering what we've seen in the past from these particular Joes. And also, I don't know, just to be taken out with such a mundane thing as gas seems to be, again, another thing that the ninjas especially, you wouldn't expect to be done like that. And I say that, but then they were done by gas in one of the original Marvel issues when Firefly had to kind of brainwave scan a load of the ninja force. So there is precedent there. The issue actually feels quite short as well, because effectively it's Cobra infiltrating Fort Wadsworth, basically succeeding, capturing Snake Eyes, leaving, and basically just flying away. And then it's the case, and then basically Law of 343, who in actual fact is, She's kind of lamenting this is very weird as well, because obviously she's Cobra, so you expect her to be ruthless, evil, etc., etc. But this just isn't the case in her character. She's very like, well, look at what it means. All my troops are dead. You know, like lots of troops have been sacrificed. What to what end? To what cost? And she keeps repeating these kind of, you know, like kind of quotes from military leaders all the way through it, to kind of maybe position her as someone who is more honourable than your usual enemy for Cobra.
Yeah, I mean, we don't see a lot of action from Laura 343. It's they drive in, they're responsible for the extraction, but all the hard work has been done. She does seem to have a real issue with the human cost for capturing this one guy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I mean, I kind of get that. And, you know, it would be nice if Larry makes a bit more of this character and we see a bit more of her as this next few issues unfold. But it does seem, well, there is a lot of action, and it's great to see all those elite Cobra troopers coming into, you know, being used in this story. It does feel very short. It does feel very rushed. And if you go back maybe 20 issues to the Dawn Moreno arc, there's a whole issue where she takes out an entire dojo of Red Ninja.
Exactly.
It's cover to cover action. It doesn't feel rushed, and she's lethal.
Yeah.
And then she ultimately, you know, confronts Firefly, and even, you know, he manages to escape, but he's running for his life. Definitely feels like they've been taken down a little bit too easily. And where is the October Guard and the Dreadnoughts?
They're still in transit, I reckon.
They both know this is happening. So why aren't they here to stop it? Which is, you know, what we know is going to be their mission.
It's interesting, isn't it? At the moment, like, I can't see where it's going, because you've got like the first issue, which is like, you know, laid the kind of foundation as to what was going to be going on. And I say laid the foundation. We'd already had a lot of foundation laid when I'm never going to let that go. By the time that we came into that issue, we already had a lot of kind of backstory built in, and then obviously that issue kind of led in. Oh well, they're basically going to attack the Fort Wadsworth. Okay, cool. I expected that. I expected it to be, you know, I didn't expect it to take the whole issue. Believe it or not, I thought it would be dealt with in such a way that you had probably a few more pages about some other development in the story. But effectively, it was Cobra break in easily, Cobra take Snake Eyes easily, and Cobra leave with no issues. Now, what that does say to me is that we could be seeing a feint by G.I. Joe, and the Joes could know fully well. They could be silently reacting to the, like we just mentioned about the security lapse in the issue previous. So I think that the Joes are almost like, and Larry's keeping it under his hat. He's not showing you any clues that the Joes know what's going on. But I must say that if it is a ruse by G.I. Joe to get Snake Eyes in behind enemy lines, then...
Ooh, that would be brilliant.
It would be cool, but also...
What a twist.
I would have to say then that Stalker, Rock and Roll and Clutch are really risking their lives to let them through and to not get killed. Do you know what I mean?
It would be a big risk. I mean, Rock and Roll may be dead. I don't think it's likely, but
no,
I mean, he's definitely taken a serious, he'd be seriously injured. Overall, I'm pretty happy with this issue. It does happen very fast. And I think Cobra have not got their hands on Sean Collins yet. They've just packed him into a helicopter. We see them, you know, the last panel we see is that they're flying past the Staten Island ferry. So they clearly have a long way to go to get back to Springfield. And while they might be flying low under, you know, below radar, they're certainly a high vis target for anybody looking from the ground or, you know, from the air. So you could have a serious pursuit happening in the next issue when we get to 268. And I think did Neto Diaz tease some really killer shots of the Cobra Mambas flying over a city?
Yes, kind of like that industrial complex kind of thing, wasn't it? Yeah.
So we could have something there, you know, it's a bit of a pursuit.
Yeah, totally. One thing I will have to say, it's lovely again to see Rob Atkins' art, and especially when there's loads of action. That's something that, you know, this bit's always kind of fun to look at. And as you mentioned, Neto, I mean, I'm really looking forward to his issue now as well. But it's just always good to see Robert Atkins, you know, basically killing it on that kind of front. I think on this one, Jay Brown's colours come through really nice on this one. And I think it looks in some places, like just absolutely gorgeous. There's one panel in particular I'm looking at. The bottom of, I don't know what page it is because they're not numbered, but at the bottom of the page, it's a frag viper tossing one of his grenades and a toxo viper firing one of those heat viper weapons, saying, hit them with the gas grenades. And it just looks incredible. All like the kind of, you know, the reflections on his eye globes, I suppose you'd say, on those like kind of through his helmet. Just incredible.
That's a superb piece. So look, the artwork on this is amazing. And I think when the Atkins brothers team up on the pencils and the inks, and Robert Atkins has been shown a lot of the black and whites on his Facebook and Instagram, they look amazing. If this whole issue was just Robert Atkins and Brian Atkins doing a black and white version, I'd buy all 10 episodes because their black and white artwork is beautiful. But Jay Brown comes in with the colours. He's done a top job in this issue. And I think visually it's, you know, it's in line with what the style we expect for a real American hero.
Yeah, it's very brutal as well, isn't it? There's a lot of kind of beautiful, like slashes and katrangs and cuts and blood. And there's the shots of the head that Clutch gives the guy in the truck. So it's very brutal, very kind of intense, very, very exactly as it's been with the Larry comics just of late, really. You're right, totally spot on there. Budo gets shot in the arm, Dawn Moreno gets shot in the arm, Rock and Roll gets like almost toasted by that explosion, but he seems to be alive. He's just, you know, we don't know yet. And like you said before, Clutch gets like hit around the back of the head with the butt of a gun. And Stalker gets overpowered and kicked while he's on the ground. So it's interesting. Yeah, again, interesting they didn't kill them.
Yeah, it's, you know, obviously they're stars of the show here. Like, Larry's not going to willy-nilly kill off some of the, you know, top characters. But they got away lightly. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. The last thing I want to mention as well is on the last episode, we were talking about the young kind of girl that's delivering kind of Avon stuff. I forget what the delivery stuff is now that she is kind of going around door to door with. And I had this horrible thought that she was going to get captured at that end, like that last page, and that, you know, they were going to like hold a ransom or hostage, or she was going to be killed or something along those lines. Obviously, that doesn't happen, and she just continues to be an annoying thorn in the Cobra stakeout team's side. And that's all it is, really, because she's just a small part in this particular issue. Thank goodness. So, yeah, she gets away with not dying.
Yes, good for her.
Anyway, what are your thoughts on this one? Like, we've kind of been giving them potatoes. We did last issue. What would you give this out of five, buddy?
I'm still gonna go with the 4.5. The only reason why I'm taking a half potato off is I would have liked it to be a little bit more difficult for the Cobra forces.
Yeah, yeah. Or a little.
That's bit, the only reason.
Not even difficult, but a little bit more intricate in how they got in there. You know, like some other way of, because all they ever do, Cobra, is full frontal assault. But all they ever do is they go in with like everything they have. And it's always like a blimmin' Spartans at Thermopylae kind of thing, isn't it? Where they kind of basically all try and get through this tiny front door with about 500 troops, and they just end up getting absolutely ruined by about three soldiers. So yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think that Cobra needed a harder time with this, and unless, of course, that they wanted it to be easy, but you know. Because a couple of them do say that it was easy in the actual issue as well. Like, one guy says, well, that was easy getting through, doesn't he? At the beginning, like when they're kind
There's
of...
There's a few comments like that, yes. So unless the hard work is going to happen in 268, you know, they're clearly not back at base yet. They don't really have their prize in the bag. Laura 343 is the one who's going to have to make sure Sean Collins gets to Springfield. And I think maybe this is where, as a character, we might get to see a bit more from her next issue.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give this one personally, I'm going to give this 3.5. It's got some really good elements to it, but again, I kind of need a little bit more. I need a little bit more intricacy, a little bit more, like you said, difficulty for Cobra. And also, I don't know if this is just it felt like this issue was just getting something out of the way that they need, like getting a chess piece in position, but getting it out the way so it's ready to go. And I think capturing Snake Eyes was something they needed to do, and they've done it now. So anyway, Brian, thank you for joining me for this episode of Comics Burst. We'll be doing another one in the next few seconds. So for those listening, there'll be another one immediately posted. Well, not immediately posted, because Facebook is awful and YouTube is awful forever uploading anything. In any case, that's it for this installment of the Full Force Comics Burst. Thank you to my awesome co-host Brian Hickey. See you next time, and as always, full force, full hunt. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos, and as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/The Full Force, and if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback or questions. We have also started a Patreon page, so if you want to see your name up in lights on these videos or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/The Full Force Podcast, or click the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force. And a big shout out to our sponsors, Distant Planet Comics and Collectibles, located at 601 Business Loop 70 West Suite 263, located in the Parkade Center, Columbia, Missouri. You can visit their website at distantplanetcomics.com and on Facebook at facebook.com/distantplanetcomics.